Well, welcome everyone. Welcome to today's live webcast. And just hope you're having a good day, a good week, wherever you are. We've already got 29 people live with us, 29 connections, probably a few more than that, but welcome. And it's good to have Barry with us again this week. Last week we were praying for your mum. So tell us, how are you and how is she?
Yes, thank you for your prayers. It's good to be back. And of course, I was actually on my phone on the broadcast with you and Wes, so cheering you guys on. Yeah, thanks for everybody who's prayed. My mom had major cancer surgery last week, and it was just it was on the Tuesday, and so I was kind of preoccupied at the hospital on the Wednesday. But we brought her home on Monday. She's doing well. She's kind of it's kind of a defining moment of or kind of image of my mom when we dropped her off. She's 85, and it's pretty big surgery in a pandemic. And we couldn't go in the hospital with her. And when we let her out of the car, I could only wave to her as she went into the hospital. And she turned around and she had this very familiar grin that she has. And then she put up her fists like she's a boxer and she started to box. So that kind of gives you an idea of my mother's fighting spirit. But yeah, she's doing well. She's, you know, on the process of recovery. It's a big surgery, so it's going to be a little bit before she's back to the fighting shape. Yeah, so things are going well.
I was very pleased to see a photograph you sent me yesterday, Barry, with her holding a Tim Hortons mug. I thought, there's a lady who's got her priorities right.
Yes, and for those who don't know, Tim Hortons is a national coffee chain here in Canada, and Canadians seem to be pretty preoccupied with our coffee. And so one of the things on the, you know, driving home, she had a Tim Hortons in her hand. And so she wanted to send a greeting. So when she had a Tim Hortons coffee in her hand. And so I sent that picture to Mark. And so it's appropriate.
It's very appropriate. She looked very good, I thought. So
yeah, well, she's
we're
doing great.
We're cheering her on, and you and Anne as well, as you do all that care and everything for her. So bless you. So anything else new in your world? You were doing a school of ministry last week as well.
Yes. Yeah. Last week was kind of a full week surgery and 3 days of speaking online at the Toronto School of Ministry, which, you know, of course, what I just love our friends there to bits. And they do. Normally, I would have been there in person to do the school. But just because of COVID, things have been shut down. But I was able to do it online, and you know, thankfully everything worked out, I think. I hope so.
Good. Can I just mention the seminars we got coming up in a few weeks?
Absolutely.
So just in the middle of February, 16th to the 18th of February, Trevor Galpin and I are doing a series of seminars, Encounter the Father's Love. We're doing it 3 days, two sessions each day, live on YouTube, and then with a Zoom question and answer session afterwards. Now, the previous seminars we've done have been in the afternoon in UK time, but these ones are going to be in the morning in the UK, so 8:30 in the morning. The main reason for that is we've had a number of requests from Australia and New Zealand to gear something for their time zone. So 8:30 in the morning UK time is 8:30 in the evening for Australia, and a little bit later for New Zealand. So this series of seminars is 8:30 in the morning UK time, 9:30 in the morning for Europe, and then in the evening for Australia, New Zealand. Sorry about this, folks, but it's very, very early in the morning East Coast American time. So you can sign up, you'll get the links, and you can watch it on catch up. So you can watch it at a more convenient time for you. But if you want the information, the booking form, afathertoyou.com/seminars. And you're really welcome to just join us for that. Trevor and I are really looking forward to it. Of course, I will be in winter in the UK, and Trevor will be in summer in New Zealand. So he will probably be sitting there in his shorts and t-shirt, and I'll be sitting here in my winter jumpers and sweatshirts. So anyway, looking forward to that. If you want the information, it's all on the website. So yeah.
Yeah, and again, as I've said before, with the seminars that Mark does, I just highly encourage you to be a part. I was privileged to be a part of the kind of the inaugural one, the launch last June, July, and but there's been a few since then, and it's an awesome time because it's just not just Trevor and Mark just teaching; it's interaction. And, mm-hmm. and there's you know, all kinds of amazing things that can happen online. I think, you know, more and more, this is our only option for many of us around the world. And Mark is doing an amazing job at figuring out how to really do it well. So I just encourage you guys to be a part if you can.
Thank you. And, you know, of course, having done the webcasts for 10 years or so, nearly, well, 10 and a half years, we've learned a few tricks along the way. But I think
we've made a few mistakes, and
we don't like to dwell on those, Barry. I am still amazed, and we've seen this so many times on the webcasts over the years, but I'm still amazed that, and we shouldn't be amazed, it should be obvious, but I'm still amazed how Father really touches people and ministers life to people when they're just sitting on their own in front of a computer screen. Now, we shouldn't be surprised about that because, of course, it's him that does it all the time anyway. But I think it's somehow it's more when people have an encounter with Father on their own, with no one laying hands on them, no one praying for them. It's kind of like they've got something because they've had that encounter. And we're seeing that so much in this season. I love being with people and I can't wait to be back with people. But I am so glad we got this as a medium. And I'm so glad that Father is not limited by the technology and the lack of the interaction. He just does it anyway. So,
yeah.
And of course, we've seen
that. I think he's the ultimate.
Yeah.
He's the ultimate opportunist. You know, any opportunity that he has to be able to minister his love to his kids, you know, he's just all over it. And it's just, it's more of a testimony of his love and his willingness to climb every mountain and leave no stone unturned to reveal his love to his kids. So it's so good.
Yeah. Anything else we need to say, my friend?
No, but I'm really intrigued about what you're going to talk about today. I'm okay, ready.
Well, you're ready. Would you like to pray us in?
I would love to. Father, we thank you that your desires that you would just settle our hearts, our anxious hearts. You just encourage us not to be afraid, and in this season of life that so many of us are walking through right now, there's so many things that can cause us to be anxious and afraid. And so we just ask that even now, Father, that you would just help us to center ourselves in your presence and your love, just to stay there and to hear what Mark has to say, and just Father, we just pray that those words would just take root in our hearts, and that perfect love would cast out all fear, that we'd be careful to be careless, and we'd be able to cast every care onto your big strong shoulders because you care for us. I pray for a blessing on Mark, and just Father, that he would just say what he hears, and just have the freedom to really open up his heart today. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, bro.
All right, mate.
I'll see you later.
See you after.
Well, so today I just want to talk about dealing with anxiety and fear. I don't want to talk about anxiety and fear because that's negative, but I want to talk about how we deal with it and see anxiety and fear really driven out of our lives, because I just think these are such big things that the enemy uses against us. And they can be very, very subtle. But I'd really like to start off, first of all, by reading a very well-known passage of scripture, which comes in Matthew chapter 6. And it's a passage we know very well. But I really want us to focus this. I want this to be our focus, because this is focusing on Father. This is looking at him and looking at his goodness. And it puts everything in perspective. So it's Matthew chapter 6, verse 25 to 34. Jesus is talking. He says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? Why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, don't be anxious, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, what shall we wear? For the Gentiles seek after all of these things. But your heavenly Father knows that you need them. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. That's the focus that Jesus is bringing. He's saying to his disciples, the people are listening, he's saying there's a place to look that will give you answers. And there's a place to look that doesn't give us answers. And, you know, at the moment, we it's crazy days. It's crazy, crazy days. And when we look at the human circumstances around us, the human situations around us, there is every good reason to be anxious. We're slap bang in the middle of a pandemic. And in the UK for the last 2 days, we've had horrendous death tolls. And we can only just begin to hope that they'll come down. But that's an immeasurable amount of grief and pain and sorrow right across the country. You know, it's just unbearable. We're in the midst of political chaos. I mean, I'm not naming any one country. Many, many countries are in the midst of political chaos. Many people have financial worries, health worries, education worries, employment worries, family worries. You know, wherever we look, there's tremendous cause for concern. You know, and it is right, I believe, that as a compassionate people, we have that concern in our hearts. That we, you know, never has it been more true, you know, that we should love one another, that we should care for one another, that as Jesus said and as Paul said, remember the poor. You know, wherever we look at the moment, we don't have to go far. You know, you don't have to look at the news. You can walk down the street. There's tremendous cause for concern everywhere. And I really believe that we can be a passionate people, a compassionate people, that bring a little bit of light and a little bit of life into those situations. That as we walk down the street, we can just smile. We can give people a greeting. We can empathize with the problems and the issues that they share with us. I don't believe we should bury our heads in the sand and try and ignore everything that's going on. But equally, we don't need to let everything that's going on sink us. And that's the problem with worry. That's the problem with anxiety. That's the problem with fear. Is it sinks us, it overwhelms us. And wherever we look at the moment, it would be very easy to succumb to that anxiety or that fear. Fear is kind of, I guess it's a slightly stronger word than anxiety, but they're basically the same. Maybe anxiety is mild fear, but it's still fear. And there is very good reason to be anxious, very good reason. You know, wherever we look, there are problems. There are problems that seem unsolvable. And we can succumb, we can allow fear, we can allow anxiety to overtake us. And I don't think anyone would judge you for doing that in this season. It's kind of like there is so much out there. I mean, never in my lifetime have we lived through such incredible times where there is so much uncertainty. And it's shaking, you know, the Bible says everything that can be shaken will be shaken. And we're going through that season in our own lives, in our community lives, in our countries. Things are being shaken. And the anxiety and the fear can overwhelm us. And so when we're faced with anxiety, when we're faced with fear, what do we do? Where do we look for answers? See, fear is like a magnet. You know, it's like someone holding a big magnet in front of you and they're drawing the magnet round to one side, and you automatically just follow the magnet because you're attracted to it. And fear has this way of turning our eyes from the truths and drawing us very subtly to look at something else. And actually what we do is we don't look necessarily at something else, but we start to gaze into a pit. We start to gaze into a pit of despondency or a pit of despair. And fear very often leads us to an empty space where there is nothing, there's no one there, and we thrash around in desperation. And one of the things I've discovered about fear is it escalates, it grows. In Job 3 verse 25, it says, "The things that we fear come upon us." And very often the fear can be bigger than the problem itself, because the fear takes hold of us and it goes round and round in our minds, and it grows and it grows and it grows. And very often if something does happen, we think, "Oh, what was I worried about?" You know, it's like, because when an event happens that we've been worried about, it's like it's almost so insignificant because the fear has multiplied within us. And it's like this magnet of fear draws our gaze away and we follow it, and we end up gazing into this pit of despair. And when we are filled with despair, we have no hope. And where there is no hope, there is incredible uncertainty. You know, we start asking the questions, who's going to help me? Who's going to do this? What if? What's going to happen? What about my health? What about my money? What about my job? What about my family? How is this going to work out? Why is this going on? When is it going to be solved? If only. And we ask all these questions because we've been diverted by this magnet of fear. And ultimately, I believe, despair leads us to panic. And of course, when we panic, we are irrational. We act irrationally. Our behavior is erratic. And we don't think about what we're saying. We don't think about what we're doing. We don't think about our reactions. We just react. You know, if you've ever seen somebody thrashing around in a pool of water where they can't swim very well, they panic. And, you know, when you panic in that situation, you're not helping yourself. I remember a few years ago, many years ago, 25 years ago, I was driving back from Scotland and the weather was terrible and there was some snow and some ice on the road, and I started to skid and I panicked and it didn't go well. We ended up upside down in a ditch. I mean, thankfully, fortunately, none of us was hurt. But, you know, my panic caused me to act irrationally, and it, you know, there was only one result and it was never going to be good. And That's the problem, despair. Fear leads to despair. Hopelessness leads us to panic because we're trying to find a way through. We're trying to get a grip on something and we just can't do it. And that's the problem that we face. That's what happens when anxiety and fear grip us. We're sucked away. We've lost sight of the truth. And suddenly we're gazing into this pit with nothing in it. And we don't know what to do. See, ultimately, fear will always paralyze. Fear paralyzes us. And we become gripped by something that we don't recognize, we don't understand. But the problem is, by that time, we've made the situation much worse. Our fear and our panic has just escalated it. You see, I think this is so subtle because the enemy, he knows that fear paralyzes us. He knows that we will be crippled by fear. And so the fear is very subtle and it drags us away and it makes us ineffective because we've lost sight of the truth. We've lost sight of who we are. We begin to lose sight of who our Heavenly Father is. And when we end up in that place, very often we feel like we've failed. We feel like we've blown it. And when we feel like we've failed, we feel ashamed. And shame says, what must I do? What must I have? What must I become? You know, shame always asks those three questions. What must I do to put it right? What must I have to make it better? What must I become to climb out of this pit of despair? And sadly, that shame, those questions, those attitudes, they become the things that drive us. And so I'm always pursuing something to do to make my situation better. I'm always pursuing something more to have because I think if I have more, it'll make me more valuable. I'll be able to work my way out of these situations. What must I become? You know, how can I become a better person to face this anxiety and this fear in a better way? And it becomes all about us. And so our response very often when we feel afraid, our response when we're dogged by anxiety is to begin to rely on the works of man, on our own strength, our own resources, because we think we are the only ones. I'm the only one who can get myself out of this pit of despair that I've allowed myself to fall into. And so when this magnet of fear has drawn us away and we're gazing into this pit of despair, we've lost sight of the truth of who we are, of who God is. And we begin to rely on the works of man. And so our focus turns to maybe a politician, maybe a political system, maybe a vaccine. You know, maybe our focus turns to the stock markets. Or even in these days, you know, how am I going to find the shop with the shortest queue? You know, and we try to rely on something that we self-generate in order to get us away from this fear and this anxiety. And just before Christmas, we had the good news that a vaccine had been approved for use in the UK. There was great relief, there was great hope, there was great rejoicing, there was great celebration. Everybody was just beginning to feel like the tide of this dreadful pandemic was beginning to turn. And maybe this was going to be good news. But then on the Saturday before Christmas, the government introduced a tighter lockdown over the Christmas period. On the Saturday before Christmas, we had our daughter on the phone in tears. You know, we hadn't seen the news at that point. You know, Christmas has been cancelled. They were no longer able to come to us for Christmas. You know, that it was like just suddenly, you know, the despair and the hopelessness took over again. The anxiety takes over. Just when we were beginning to feel hopeful and positive. And what I realized through that is it's so easy to rely on the works of man. And the vaccine is great. We're so glad that it's coming through and people are beginning to be vaccinated. And wonderful work of science. But that's not our hope. That's not our answer. That's not where we put our trust. Our trust is always in God, our loving Father who knows what we need and who is the one who has promised, as we've read in Matthew, to take care of us. But fear and anxiety, they drag us to this place of despair. And we start to look for answers in the wrong place. And we have a cry that says, who will save me? Who will save me from this fear, this anxiety? What have I got to do to save myself from this fear and anxiety? And I just want to read a few verses from Isaiah chapter 31, because this again focuses us and it shows us so much the way of the world. It shows us how orphan hearts approach the issue of fear and anxiety. Isaiah 31, first three verses. Woe to those who go down to Egypt for help, and they rely on horses, and they trust in chariots because they are many, and in horsemen because they are very strong. But they do not look to the Holy One of Israel or consult the Lord. And yet he is wise and brings disaster. He does not call back his words, but will arise against the house of the evildoers and against the helpers of those who work in iniquity. The Egyptians are man and not God. Their horses are flesh and not spirit. When the Lord stretches out his hand, the helper will stumble, and he who is helped will fall, and they will all perish together. See, I think metaphorically, when we are feeling anxious, when fear is getting a hold of us, we look to Egypt for answers. And boy, can Egypt provide answers. You know, the world is full of answers, but they don't work. They don't bring us that lasting peace and that lasting sense of security and that lasting sense of belonging that we so desperately crave. Sometimes the world has good answers, like the vaccine, but it's not the ultimate answer. You see, Egypt will provide answers, but Egypt represents bondage and slavery. Egypt represents anything but the freedom that you and I are meant to enjoy. The magnet of fear is very, very good at taking us into Egypt. And in Egypt, we fight each other. It's about survival. It's the worst of the orphan system. And so fear and anxiety drag us away from the truth. Like I've said, it's like a magnet, and we start to look for answers, and we end up relying on the works of man, principally the works of ourselves, trying to find answers in anywhere to get an answer to bring relief from anxiety. Because you and I know that fear, anxiety, it does cripple us. You know, you and I know from our own experience that fear paralyzes. But it is so subtle that we still keep on succumbing to it. You know, we're still drawn away by it. We still fall into the trap of succumbing to fear and anxiety, even although we know it will cripple us. Somehow it gets a hold of us. And what fear does is it takes us into our mind for us to try and find a solution, rather than relying on the Spirit of God within us, rather than relying on our Heavenly Father who knows what we need and will provide for what we need. You know, how much more valuable are we than the birds and the flowers? You know, if he looks after them, how much more will he look after us? And so whilst it's very easy to succumb to the magnet of fear, The good news is there is another magnet, and there is a stronger magnet of truth that will turn us away from Egypt and lead us to look once again into the Promised Land. And the Promised Land for us represents a place of provision. It represents a place of safety. It represents a place of freedom. And the good news of this evening, the good news of today is, yep, we all succumb to the magnet of fear. But there is a stronger magnet of truth that brings us back to the person of truth, that brings us back to the Father of all provision. Psalm 20, verse 6 to 8 says this: "Now I know that the Lord saves his anointed. He will answer him from his holy heaven with the saving might of his right hand. Some trust in horses and chariots, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. They collapse and fall, but we rise and stand upright. O Lord, save the king. May he answer us when we call." See, this is the truth, my friends, that we have a God in heaven who is our Father. And whilst many people want to put their trust in chariots and horses in Egypt, and maybe we do in our weaker moments, maybe we do that when we're just dragged away, we suddenly can wake up to the fact that, hang on, we're putting our trust in something else. But we can trust in the name of the Lord our God, and he will answer us when we call. There is a stronger magnet of truth that brings us back to the glorious person of our Father, who is a provider and who will provide all we need, because the Promised Land where you and I live, where our home is, it's a place of provision, it's a place of safety, it's a place of freedom. Psalm 34 verse 4 says, "I sought the Lord and he answered me. He delivered me from all my fears." You know, when fear is overtaking us, let's turn and look at our Father, because he will answer us and he will set us free from our fears. You know, fear is so, it's just so binding. You know, many of you will know my own story. Those of you who have been on schools or conferences, maybe even on the webcast, many of you know my own story, that when I was 10 years old, my dad was killed in a car accident. And, you know, suddenly on that day, October 1971, my dad was taken from us. And we came home from school at the end of the afternoon and found a police lady sitting in our house and with my mum. And that was obviously not normal. And then we found out that our dad had been killed in a car accident. Well, when I was 17, I learned to drive. And I learned to drive, and I think I'm quite a good driver. I've never had any fear about me driving or being in a car accident. I've been in a couple of car accidents in my time, but I've never had any fear about me driving a car. But when I got married and Fiona would go off in the car on her own, fear would get hold of me. And by the end of the evening, I was absolutely convinced that she would have had a car accident. Well, of course, she comes home and she's fine, you know, and the fear. I said, phew, you know, I tried not to let her see that, but, you know, phew. Because I'd spent all evening not being productive, not enjoying myself, not doing anything, but I was gripped by fear. When I taught my kids to drive, I taught all of my four kids to drive, and I think I taught them quite well. I think they're pretty good drivers. But of course, there comes that day, doesn't there, when you've taught them to drive and they've passed their test and they want the car keys. So you let them have the car and you give them clear rules of what they can and can't do and what time they've got to be back and all that sort of stuff. The first time they went out in the car on their own, the fear gripped me again. And, you know, I was on edge until they got home. And, you know, I mean, well, in normal times, I've spent a lot of time flying, you know, in airplanes. Again, I never have any worry or any fear about me getting in an airplane and flying. But any other member of my family, I would suffer from fear. And that fear is very real. It's completely irrational, but it's very, very real. The good news is that fear in my life has really, really reduced almost to the extent that it's gone away. And I know when it started to diminish. You know, I wish I could say to you, it happened on one instant and just like that, the fear all went. But, you know, I know in 2002, when I had not only a revelation of the Father, but I had an experience of him loving me and him being a father to me. I know from that moment onwards that the fear in my life has reduced and reduced and reduced to such an extent that it's almost not there now. And it's very, very simple. John writes for us in his first letter, perfect love casts out fear. Fear has to do with punishment. Fear has to do with judgment. Fear is the kingdom of Satan. You know, it's the orphan-hearted way. Fear is the wrong tree. It's the tree of knowledge of good and evil. It's like, what have I got to do to keep myself in right relationship with this angry, judgmental God? You know, when Adam and his wife took the fruit of that tree in the garden, they were afraid. They felt fear. They didn't know what fear was. Fear didn't exist until that moment. There was no word for fear because it didn't exist. But the moment they took from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, they were afraid. They felt fear. And what did they do? They went and hid. That's what fear does. It causes us to hide. And it causes us to put this cloak of shame around us to try and find out, you know, what have we got to do? What have we got to become? What have we got to have in order to make ourselves look good? See, fear makes us hide. Fear paralyzes us. Fear breaks relationship. Fear causes us to climb the wrong tree where we're constantly saying, what have I got to do or what have I not got to do? And there's always the fear of punishment, whether we, you know, if we don't do the right thing or if we don't do the right thing enough. Well, let me ask you a question. How do you ever know when you've done enough? You see, you can't know the answer to that. Because if you live from that wrong tree, you will always be motivated to do more because you will never know that you've done enough. See, the kingdom of Satan is a kingdom of fear. The kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. And the only antidote that I've discovered to fear is love. Perfect love casts out all fear. See, I don't know about you, but many times in my life, I've prayed against the fear of something for someone, maybe in my own life as well. But, you know, I've prayed that a fear of this or a fear of a spirit of a fear of that would go. And I actually realize, I realize that's the wrong prayer. Instead of praying for a spirit of fear to go, I now just pray that a spirit of love would overtake them. And that a spirit of love would fill their heart, and that the perfect love of the Father would flow into their heart, and that God would pour his love into their heart by the Holy Spirit. Because now I know, now I understand, now I've experienced that perfect love casts out all fear. There is no fear that cannot be driven out by love. And the more we live in love, the more fear has to go. And so what I want to do this evening, what I want to do today is just encourage you to bring your fears to the Father. See, when fear gets a hold of us, we look into this pit of despair and this pit of despondency, and we cannot see an answer. But if we can just turn and let the strong magnet of truth turn us so we can bring that fear to the Father and say, Father, here I am, fears and all. Will you cast that fear out by your love? Father, will you pour your love into my heart? Father, I want to receive more of your love. Father, I want to live in love. I want love to make its home in my heart. And as you allow yourself to be loved, as you allow love to be poured into your heart, as you allow yourself to be rooted and grounded in love, fear has to go. It simply cannot stay. Because perfect love casts out all fear. And the psalmist got it right. He said, I sought the Lord and he answered me and he delivered me from all my fears. And I know that fear is very, very real. I know that fear is very, very crippling. I know that fear paralyzes. But I also know the greater truth that love sets us free. The perfect love of the Father being constantly poured into your heart will set you free from all of your fears. See, in that passage we read in Matthew, look at the Father that Jesus shows us. Look at the Father that Jesus presents us with. You know, Jesus says, look around. Can't you see the hand of your Father in every bit of creation? Look at the birds. Who feeds them? Look at the flowers. See how they're clothed. Who does all of that? Jesus says, it's our Father. And then Jesus says, if he does that for his created world, how much more? How much more then for you as his beloved son, his beloved daughter? How much more then will your Father do for you? Your Father knows. Your Father knows what you need. See, as we seek first his kingdom, which basically just means seeking him, pursuing him, giving ourselves to a life of love. You know, the kingdom of God is a kingdom of love. And as we pursue that, you know, seek first his kingdom, you know, all as we seek him, all of those things will be added to us. And Jesus says, therefore, do not worry. Do not worry. Every institution in the world is not only based on, but it feeds from the wrong tree. It's all about me. It's fear. And fear is selfish. You know, I loved what Wes said last week on the webcast. I thought what Wes shared last week was real revelation. You know, that the Father always provides a tree. In the garden, there was the wrong tree. And yet, through Jesus dying on the cross, he provided another tree. And Wes spoke about that passage in Exodus when the people of Israel came and they found like a big lake and the water was bitter and they couldn't drink it. And God showed Moses a log, part of a tree. And Moses had that wood, that trunk of the tree thrown into the lake and it became sweet to drink. And Wes was sharing with us last week so beautifully and so powerfully. He said, the Father always provides a tree. And the wrong tree is all around us in the world. You know, everything I started off with about, you know, there is every reason to be anxious. There is every reason to be fearful. It's all based on the wrong tree. But the Father always provides a tree. And it's the tree of life. And as Wes said last week, take, eat. Jesus said, take, eat. This is my body broken for you. And Wes's encouragement and my encouragement is eat from the tree of life. Because as we eat from the tree of life, the fear will go. The kingdom of heaven is righteousness, peace, and joy. And we can experience that righteousness, peace, and joy because we are beginning to rely, we are able to rely on someone greater than ourselves. See, when we rely on ourselves, we cannot have peace and joy. Very often, it's not very righteous either. But when we rely on someone greater than ourselves, when we take those words of Jesus, how much more then? Your Father knows. Don't be anxious. As Barry said at the beginning, cast your cares on him because he cares for you. Every time we come to him and just allow him to lift the anxiety, lift the worry, lift the fear, it will bring us into that place of peace and joy. Because we're relying on someone greater and bigger than ourselves. And Jesus said in Matthew 18, the only way to enter that, the only way to take hold of that is to come as a little child, is to humble ourselves and change and come as a child. And we can run into his open waiting arms. And I want to encourage you today that if you know you're suffering from fear and anxiety, is to come to the Father, because he knows. He knows. And as he pours his love, as he envelops you in his love, as he surrounds you with his love, as you just allow that love to fill your heart, there is only one result, and that result is that fear has to go. It has no choice, because perfect love casts out fear. You know, I often quote 2 Corinthians 6:18, which says, I will be a father to you. That's really what I'm talking about. I'm talking about allowing ourselves to let God be a father to us. But the rest of that verse is, I will be a father to you, says the Lord Almighty. You see, our Father is the Lord Almighty. It is that strength and that power that is in him, because he is the Lord Almighty, that we can rely on to drive out all of our fear. So yes, we can come to him and he will be a father to us. But as we bring our fears and anxieties to him, he will be the Lord Almighty. And he will drive those fears out of our heart. The more we run to him, the more our fear goes. It has to. Because the magnet of love is stronger than the magnet of fear. I'm just going to bring Barry back on, and then maybe, I'm sure he'll have something to add. And then we'd just like to pray and just ask the Father to wash that fear away as he washes us and fills us with his love.
I don't know how I have much to add to that, my brother. It's that was a very good word and a very timely word in the I don't know if there's ever been a time, I think, in kind of a corporate global humanity, as far as in this world with the worldwide internet and media and everything else, where fear has so gripped people's hearts. And yeah, the thing I just want to encourage each and every one, when and again, it's based on 1 John 4:18, where it says that perfect love casts out fear, and it's the same word where Jesus cast out devils. Mm-hmm. So when love comes, love doesn't negotiate with fear. Love is ferocious. Love in that sense does not is fighting on your behalf. Mm-hmm. And so I just say yes and amen to that, Mark. And as you just lead in prayer, just that people would just be honest before God about what you're struggling with. It's that when the Lord said so many times in the Bible, don't be afraid, it's because people were afraid. It's like, because they had something to be afraid about. So it's not about having fear, but it's what we do with that. So I just believe that, just the roar of love will just cast fear out. So amen.
Yes. Yeah, Father, we just want to come before you with all of our fears. Father, would you help us to be brave enough to look at the fear rather than look at the pit of despair that we've been dragged to? Father, may we look at the fear and acknowledge that it has a hold on us at the moment, but it is not going to have a hold on us in the future. And Father, we just ask that that magnet of love would draw us back to you right now, that we would gaze upon you, we would gaze upon the source of love, we would look into your eyes and see love. We would be held in an embrace of love. And Father, there is no fear or anxiety that is too big for you to deal with. And so, Father, we just run into your open arms this evening. We run into your open arms. And we just say, Father, would you fill us with your love? Would you pour your love into our hearts? Would you soak us in your love? Would you cause us to be rooted and grounded in love? Would you cause us, Father, to make love our resting place?
Yeah.
And we don't have to drive fear out. Father, you do it because love does it, and you are love.
Yeah.
We don't have to respond to those questions of shame. What do I have to do? What do I have to become? What do I have to have? None of those things will cause a fear or anxiety to be driven away. Father, just forgive us for turning to those questions of shame. And help us to run into the arms of love. Thank you that you are love. God is love, and perfect love casts out all fear. Therefore, God casts out all fear as he lives within our hearts. So, Father, just soak us with your love. And all those things that are so very real in our daily lives that cause us to be anxious, cause us to worry, cause us to be fearful, Father, help us to take our gaze off them and to gaze upon you. Because how much more then will our Father in heaven, who knows what we need? We thank you for your great love. And we thank you that you are being a Father to us through this, and that we can let you be a Father to us. But you're also the Lord Almighty who deals with all of our enemies. Thank you, Father.
And Father, we just ask that by your Holy Spirit that lives within us, that you would just even right now, encourage us of our immeasurable value to you. When Jesus said that if your Father feeds the birds of the air, will he not take care of you? Because of our great value. And I just pray that we would just all know at a deeper level than we've ever known before, our immeasurable value, how you, what you feel about us, that you can't stop thinking about us. And that we wouldn't focus on the fear, but we would focus on the on you loving us. And so, Father, I thank you that even this moment, for every person watching around the world, I thank you, Father, that you are loving each one of us perfectly and completely right now. And so, Father, even by faith, we choose to fix our gaze upon your face. We choose to look upon love. Just drink in his love, just breathe in his love. He's never stopped loving you. He will never stop loving you. Abba, thank you that you deal with our fear. You understand we're afraid. You have compassion on us, but you want us to cast every care upon you because you care for us. So even right now, Father, every rock in our backpack, every fear, every worry, every stressor, every anxious thought, one by one, Father, we just cast every care upon you. Because you care for us. Amen.
The microphone on. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. Yeah. We'll be back next week, hey matey. Thank you, everyone. Have a good week. And we'll see you next week. Same time.
Amen.
Same place.
Yeah, right. Bless you guys.